Today's daf is Maseches Baba Kama daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara Namad Aleph wraps up the discussion of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish how to view damage that's caused by a fire when a person lights a fire and then that fire is carried away by the wind and then it goes into a person's field and it burns up the field. You have to go and pay the person for the damage that's done. So we delved into the Nemuki Yosef's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan that the moment of obligation is the first force of lighting the match or letting the arrow fly from the bow, which was called Isho Mishum Chetzio. We look at that first moment, and that's when we catch him on his action, which ends up causing damage. Come to Tosfot and says, Nira Dim Zark Evanochetz, person throws a rock or an arrow, Al Hakli, and it goes toward a vessel. Uba Acher Vekidim Veshivro, and a person comes and actually smashes the vessel before the rock or the arrow gets there. Pshita Dechayev. Person who breaks that vessel is going to be obligated to pay. We don't apply the logic that we've seen, the case where it's already a broken item because it's on its way towards something that's going to end up getting broken. We're going to differentiate between throwing a rock toward an item that ends up breaking it or throwing the item itself. In other words, even though a vessel thrown from a roof is already called a it's a broken vessel before hitting the ground, and someone who hits it out of the air is going to be exempt. Nevertheless, a vessel that is shot at by an arrow is not considered a quote-unquote broken vessel, and if someone breaks it, that person is going to be obligated. Comes to Ksosa Choshen, Shin Tzadik Siv Katan Aleph, and notes that we see that Tosfot argues actually with the Nemuki Yosef, since according to his logic, the whole thing of shooting the arrow at the vessel, person is doing that, that person is going to be obligated right away. It goes by the moment of the arrow leaving his bow, and therefore we should view the vessel as already broken. Tosfos says that's not so. It appears, therefore, that they disagree. Come to Kilos Yaakov, the stifler, and says, not so fast. When it comes to the arrow, we focus on the gavra, the person who's shooting the arrow. We focus on the moment, on that moment, for the obligation of the damage, but the burned field is not considered saruf v'shavar l'mafreya. We don't retroactively say that it was burned from the moment that the arrow left the bow. Rather, in real time, that's when it's burned, that's when it actually is happening. Nemuki Yosef, therefore, would differentiate between throwing the vessel itself, it's broken from the first moment it's thrown, versus shooting an arrow, the quote-unquote vessel, remains unimpacted until the final moment. So let's plug this all in now to Halacha Lamasa. Sha'on Shabbat, a timer that is set in motion before Shabbat, begins to enable appliances to go off and on their own, without human interaction during Shabbos. The Maram Shik, among other poskim, say that there's no issue with setting up the timer before Shabbos. While adjusting the timer on Shabbos itself, the Maram Shik applied the words of the Nemuki Yosef on the rule of Isho Mishum Chetzio, and it also said in Sanhedrin whether this principle applies in the laws of murder, since the action of adjusting the pins of the timer on Shabbat would be like Isho Mishum Chetzav, like shooting an arrow. Another argument was that for this to apply, we need not only the first force, but we also need, quote-unquote, the wind. We need the Ruach Metsuya that's going to end up bringing that fire that's going to cause the damage. Therefore, if the timer was set before Shabbos, it's not considered lighting a fire at that point, at that moment, because the fire is non-existent at that stage. The wind's non-existent at that stage. What creates the ability for it to go and have its action done, it doesn't exist at that moment. Only in the Nemuki Yosef's example is the fire already there from the get-go. So Rav Ovadia as well is lenient in this and expanded on this in Sefer Chazon Ovadia Malachos HaMatchilot Be'erev Shabbos. We find practically that most Jewish communities utilize a timer on Shabbos. However, it should be noted that Rav Moshe forbade its use and compared it to having a Gentile perform a malacha on one's behalf, which is Amira L'Akum, which is an act that's prohibited on Shabbos, to have a Gentile perform a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, and argued that if timers would have been around in the days of the Tanaim, the Amoraim, the rabbis would not have allowed it. However, he admits an important principle, which is really what I find is one of the things that made Rav Moshe such a great Torah leader, such a gadol. He says, "Al kol panim, ma shekvar nahagu la'amid al yedei moreh sha'ot shol l'chabot hanerot la'lektri shehud l'ku." So that which people are already following this custom, that this is what people are doing. They're using the timers. They're allowing their lights to go on and off. And coming back on the other day. Moshe says we're not going to come and prohibit it because this is what ended up being the main practice in the Jewish community.